Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Punters, Mate on SEN.
Don't we love a Friday on the Punters, Mate? Of course, Fridays come around so quickly, don't they, Sam Hyland? As I say, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Chris-o. Yeah, it's what a big afternoon we've had. Me and the dog racing all over the place. And what a great way to finish with the Punters, Mate.
What a great way to finish the working week and get into the serious part of the week, which, of course, is finding a winner. And that's something we'll try to do for our listeners later in the show. How's your week been, Sammy? Has it been a busy one? How about the rain? It's sort of, I don't know about you guys down this way, but rain's one minute, then it's stinking humid the next. I think I said last week, I mow my lawn and then 25 minutes later, it looks untidy.
I love it. I've been waiting for it actually to come this week. I mowed the lawns a bit early last week and had a few days dry weather, and I'm thinking I need the rain, but last night it bucketed down. So, and I think we've got it over the weekend, haven't we? It's going to roll. We've got a bit to come, so that's a positive. Freshen everything up.
Well, not really. They say like 0 to 4 mils and 0 to 2 mils, and it just, funny thing is that they put those forecasts out in the morning at, 4:20 or something, the bureau.
Yeah.
Might say 0 to 4 mils, and then by the time you wake up and get going, it's like 6:30. They've already had about 8 mils, so I don't know how they missed that, but I don't know. I don't know how they miss a few things lately. I can tell you Doomben this morning was rated a soft 6, and that was the result of only 3 mils of rain in the past 24 hours, but there was a bit around this morning too, earlier this morning. So hopefully not much more, because I don't want a rain-affected track tomorrow, Sam. I'm pretty confident about the meeting tomorrow, and the last thing I want is it to be screwed up by rain.
Oh, wow. Oh, well. I'd have thought they'd have had more than 3 mils.
Well, it's only light stuff. Yeah, well, okay. Maybe your way wasn't light.
Well, but I'm not that far away. I'm only a couple of suburbs away.
It doesn't matter here.
From Doomben. And it's, tell you what, we got more than 3 mils. So, it would be unlike a racetrack to slim the
have the rating lower than it should be.
Just say we only got a couple of mils and they got 12.
I was thinking about this the other day, and this won't be a popular topic, but we have the Gold Coast track now that's got fantastic drying conditions. We've only raced on it a few times, but it's dried out really quickly. So it handles the rain. Eagle Farm, we know, handles the rain. Is it time now we rip up Doomben and put a different drainage under Doomben so we've got three tracks like that?
I would have thought not. Myself, I am all about racing on tracks with some give. So yeah, I know how much hard tracks affect horses, and I'm not a fan of firm ground at all. So it's when you're sitting on their back and you feel a horse on firm ground, you can dead set. You can feel it rattle up their bones. And if you continue to race on firm ground, over time, it'll just chip away at the horse, and then next thing they break. The English and Irish, they wouldn't dare gallop on ground as firm as we gallop on. And they've been doing it for a lot longer than us. So, I'm gonna say I think they've got the right sequence.
Well, you raise an interesting point there, because I tipped two horses last weekend that I thought were really good things, and they came off some good runs at Doomben. Okay, Artful Girl was one, and Lennox was the other, and they both went to Eagle Farm. Now, their good form was at Doomben, and they hadn't been to Eagle Farm, and they just stopped in the straight like nobody's business. There was no reason for them to do that. The difference between Eagle Farm and Doomben, There's got to be something there, Sammy.
It's worlds apart. It's worlds apart.
It's not only the contour of the track, but I think it's just the surface as well.
Yeah.
And I know you speak to a lot of jockeys, so I'm going to give you some homework and ask a few what they think of the difference between Doomed and Eagle Farm.
All right.
I know that, you know, leaders are much better placed at Doomed than they are at Eagle Farm, but if you're a strong horse, you can still win from the front at Eagle Farm. But I think after those two defeats last week, which just completely gutted me. And interesting, tomorrow, Artful Girl goes around again at Doomben. So how much will she improve back to Doomben? Interesting to see what happens there. The proof could be in the pudding. Now, last week, we did have a big day for some of our participants. Doubles to Chris Muntz, double to Ryan Maloney, a double to Jimmy Orman, and another Saturday winner for Talia Fenlon, who was our special guest on the show last week. How good's that?
Yeah, Talia's riding in great form, and she'll continue to kick on, get good use of that claim, that's for sure. And she's a really good young talent. And obviously, those that you've spoken about, well, Jimmy's just a jet, so is Ryan Maloney. And the Munt stable, it's been in hot form. So good to see. Good to see.
Highlights from last week on the track also. Whiskey was quite impressive winning the first race, won for the Snowdens. Did it against the tempo, Sammy. They ran 37.48 or something for the first 634.20 home, and he was able to get home over the top of them. So promising. I don't think the opposition were overly strong, though.
I think they'll have a good weekend in Melbourne. Big Saturday in Melbourne too.
Yes.
The Snowden Camp G. I'm a big fan of that horse, High Octane.
Yep.
I think he is an absolute beauty. And up to the 1,100, that's going to be a big positive. And, I think he's a strong chance. And the other two, the fillies, Bold Bastille, I think it's going to be a really good hope in the fillies division.
Well, it's very high up in the Blue Diamond markets.
Yeah.
Bold Bastille.
Best of luck to the Pope family. Des Pope bred this one. And, he's had many good horses, but it'd be good to see him take out a Blue Diamond prelude.
Some big racing, obviously, in Melbourne with the Ore Stakes, the Group 1. Mr. Brightside returns. He's all the rage.
I'm a fan of Pericles.
Okay.
I'm backing Pericles. Oh. I have already backed Pericles. I think he's a horse on the up, Pericles.
Well, he'll take on Mr. Brightside. What price is Pericles?
$8, okay. I got. So,
The Blue Diamond Prelude, which means the Blue Diamond must be 2 weeks away in the Oakley Plate, by my reckoning, which is a great time of year in Melbourne. I love that meeting, Blue Diamond, Oakley Plate, always have. And, of course, Sydney, we've got some two-year-old racing, of course, tomorrow. We've got the Inglis Millennium, and we have another two-year-old race two, which is a really good one. There's a nice one there called Celerity from the Godolphin camp, I reckon, goes really well, a filly.
Okay.
Elmore Zillow goes around for Kelly Schweder in that Inglis Millennium, the $2 million race. And wears the same colours as April in Augusta.
I wish
she'd go around a $2 million race, Sam. But there's a long way to go and a lot of water to flow under the bridge. So good luck to the owners there. And also we've got the Eskimo Prince, which is Group 3 at Randwick tomorrow. So things are starting to hot up in both Melbourne and Sydney, aren't they?
Oh, yeah,
interesting
for sure.
Pair of glasses you've got on your desk there.
I've just...
What the hell are those?
I've had to... I have to use glasses now.
Yeah, but they're very trendy.
No, well,
they're light blue.
Close, yeah.
They match what you're wearing.
Thanks. Shout out to Andy Lewis from the Emerald Hotel. I stole them off him. And
are they those ones you get at the servo, like just the magnifying glasses, basically?
Don't know. Don't know where he got them, but it's good because I can still see over the top normal. But when I look at the you know, the piece of paper that you've given me, it just enlarges stuff.
Yeah, they're magnifying glasses. That's all they are. You could bring in a round magnifying glass and just go like that.
Oh, could I?
Or use that thing you see on TV. You've seen that? It's like an iPad.
No.
People take it to the restaurants. One of those home shopping things.
Anyway.
Now, just something I'd just bring up quickly. We spoke last week about the major Group 1 races getting name changes after horses, like the Very Elegant was going to replace, what was the race? I can't remember now. The Chipping Norton was turning into the Very Elegant. Well,
and
you know,
further to that, just got an interesting message from one of our loyal listeners, Darren Saunders, who was, he said, how would Tie the Knot feel?
Won four Chipping Nortons.
He won four. He won four Chipping Nortons.
Yeah.
And he's overlooked.
But he didn't win a Melbourne Cup. That's what they'll say.
Oh.
Now, Paul Richards from the Winning Post, good bloke and a good journo.
Yes.
He does a really good job on the winning post. He's written a bit of an article in this week's edition about people blowing up like you and I.
Right.
And he's just gone through some of the other countries and how many Group 1s they've got and how many Group 1s are named after horses. So Great Britain, England has 36 Group 1s, only two of them are named after horses. Only two of them. In Ireland, they only honour one horse with a Group 1, and that is the Pretty Polly was the name of the mare.
Pretty Polly Stakes. Yeah.
Okay, only
one. I've
been
to that race meeting. Yeah.
There you go. In France, there's 28 Group 1s and only one, the Prix Vermeil. I'm just butchering that completely. Appears to be named after a horse. Vermeil, probably, was a top broodmare of the 1860s. So a lot of these ones are actually very old-time horses. And in America, they run 97 Group 1s or Grade 1s, and 17 of them are named after top-class thoroughbreds. So percentage-wise, we're winning.
So how many?
11 of 74 here.
Right.
11 of 74. So and building, I would say. Man. Kingston Town doesn't have a Group 1 named after him at all.
How ridiculous.
Neither does Farlap.
How ridiculous.
But very elegant does, and a few others. Anyway, Storm Boy sold for $60 million, which I think $50 million actually was the figure that was bandied around. Nothing official. We did talk about that a couple of weeks ago. There's a lot of detail gone into that sale. I'm not going to go through all that, but he has been sold to Coolmore and will now race in the Coolmore colours, Sammy.
Yeah, that's, I tell you what, it's pretty impressive, isn't it? $60 million. And he was so impressive, but he's still, he's still got improvement in him, I would have thought, Storm Boy.
Oh, yeah.
And so we'll be seeing him for a good bit. But gee whiz, it's big money, isn't it?
Sammy, Imperatriz's trial during the week. Did you catch it?
I did watch.
What'd you think of that?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I didn't think she'd need to get a rub up the neck like she did. Mm. You know, and she needed a bit of a shake-up to stay in touch with him. I don't know, maybe. I did hear that they say she's pretty relaxed and, I think.
It's interesting.
We
very
need
interesting.
To see her again. We need
well,
to see
we'll
her
see her
again.
Next Saturday.
Yeah.
In the Black Caviar Lightning at Flemington. So
In Secrets Out.
Yes, I see that. So Imperatriz, yeah, I looked at it and thought, gee, that was a little bit flat. But then someone put up a trial leading into last preparation. She was pretty flat in that too.
Was
so,
she? Okay.
Anyway. Giga Kick's out of the autumn. We know that. Hopefully the Brisbane Winter Carnival is on the radar with Giga Kick. Alligator Blood we discussed last week. He's definitely out and maybe out. Forever, unfortunately.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's the changing of the guard, isn't
yep.
it, really? And
most definitely.
We need, I tell you what, we need some good horses to turn up and take up a spot because they're a bit thin on the ground, aren't they?
Yes,
but
are.
I'll tell you what, there is plenty of 58s. There's plenty of 58s going around.
There's some 55s too. I've been doing the Form 4 lately. I'll tell you what, some of them don't even deserve to win a race. There's nothing that you do the form and you think none of these can win.
Oh.
They just haven't got the ability to win, but one of them has to.
Well, you want to do the form for some of those meetings on Monday and Tuesday that Brown Dog and I do. Wow, week. It's. That it's exactly like that. And you see them coming up the straight at the furlong and you think, okay, who's having a think about it? They all
are.
All of them. They all are.
All right. All right, Sammy. This one I thought was perfect for you. Ben Dorries, who we know well, racing journalist, Queensland for RaceNet.
What about the that tripe he wrote about that?
Oh, the sex worker.
Ah, I mean, do we honestly need that going on? Do we need to be writing articles about that in the racing industry? Talking about
that's
tacky,
not my talking point.
Talking about I'm just bringing it up. For talking about tacky. I mean, bring the sport down a peg or two. Why does that need to be spoken about?
I'm talking about this one here, and this one is the trust funds. Queensland is the only state in Australia that doesn't have a trust fund set up for apprentice jockeys. And the reason for that was a while back there seemed to be a lot of mature age apprentices, and they needed their money because they had families and they had kids. So they disbanded the jockeys or the apprentices trust fund. You were an apprentice jockey. You would have come under the trust fund situation. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. I think it was. Look, my dad was very strong on this back in the day. you know, as far as being, you know, you're obviously an adolescent and then going into being an adult, and you need to be, you're making seriously good money, and then, it needs to be held back from you to make sure that you don't go out and buy fast cars and blow it all. By the time you get to 21, you come out and you haven't got a bean. And so, you know, I never forget, I couldn't even buy my first car out of my apprentice fund. Like, Dad just would not let you touch it. And
so if he gave you the okay, you could touch it?
Yeah. So you could get, I remember back then, if you wanted to buy a house or a car, you could get money out, yep. But you had to make a request for it and
that's right.
Go through certain stages and then you could get the money. But I remember I had to buy my first car. I had to buy my first car with cash. Old Pat, and he used to pay me peanuts too back in the day, $84 a week. And I think it was, for just speaking from experience, I think that was it was a good thing learning to obviously really value the dollar and know how lucky you are to you know, have that money put away. And then when you turn 21, you bought a house and you had a big chunk of money and you could go and buy a house.
Was it 21 or 18?
I was 21.
So it's 18 now, I think.
Is it? Yeah, right. But it was back then, it was I never got my money until I was 21.
But do you think if you had got it at 18, you would have blown a lot of it?
Well, I think, you know, and that's what, as I say, my dad was really strong on the opinion that, you know, this you work hard and this money gets put away. And then when you're 21, you're obviously an adult. You've been working for 6 years or 5 or 6 years, and you have a big chunk of money and you come out and you go bang, and now you invest it well, you know. What Dad used to say back in the day, he had seen in his time of being a jockey and then being a horse trainer, is he'd seen so many kids make so much money, but then they got to the end and they came out and just blew it all on fast cars and wrapped a car around a pole, and then next thing bought another fast car, and then it just, you know, it just withered away quickly.
So what do we do age apprentices?
Yeah, I think it's obviously a different scenario now, because you have, like you say, you have people that have been through school, had an education, and then come out and then want to be an apprentice jockey. And I'm not up with where it's all at, but I can understand that you know, older age apprentices are, it's a common thing now, isn't it? You know, like we see jockeys that are like 21 and still got their claim or just been riding for 1 or 2 years or something like that. And obviously, you know, they need their money. So, yeah, I don't know where all that's at. But I know that it was, you know, speaking from someone that obviously was apprenticed to his father, but my old man was pretty strict and firm with all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And, I don't think it was a bad thing.
Well, Ben's ended the article by saying that it's understood Racing Queensland is currently reviewing the apprentice pay structure system in Queensland. And if there is to be a change and trust funds and holding accounts were reintroduced for junior riders, it would most likely be an opt-in system rather than being mandatory. So there you go. Now, today's guest on the show is an apprentice, CJ Graham. And is there anyone riding better in Queensland than CJ at the moment? I don't think so. So looking forward to chatting to her in just a moment. Racing action continues every day across the Sunshine State. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today. And we are racing at Doomben, of course, tomorrow. We race on the Poly track at the Gold Coast. We race on the Poly this week and next Saturday, then back to the grass, Sam. Toowoomba in the Twilight Zone tomorrow night. Townsville up north. Sunshine Coast on Sunday with a 12-metre rail. Take note. So you need to be against the fence. Wherever you are in the run, doesn't matter. If you can make ground, but it needs to be against the fence. And we race at Miles and Nanango on the non-tab circuit.
Oh, make me over. I'm all I want to be.
Sammy, our first guest on the show, and our only guest on the show when it comes to riding horses today, is CJ Graham. And she is riding up a storm of late, fresh off riding 4 at the Sunshine Coast Saturday week back. and she's had plenty more winners since. CJ, good afternoon to you.
Hey, how you going?
Very, very well. Not as well as you, though. You must be absolutely wrapped in your form at the moment.
Yeah, I couldn't be happier with the opportunities I've been given lately, and to salute on quite a few of them. It's been a really good run, and I just hope it can continue for a while longer.
Well, I don't see any reason as to why it shouldn't. I mean, you've got some really good rides coming up tomorrow. You rode some good horses there at Eagle Farm, on Wednesday, and had more success there. And just need to ask you, Kelly Schweder, how much of an influence has he been for you?
Yeah, he's been amazing. He's a really good boss and a really good mentor, and he gives me a lot of support. And yeah, we've had a lot of luck together, and yeah, he's just been nothing short of amazing. Him and his whole family, they're just great people to work for.
He doesn't say a lot, does he? But what he says means something.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. And he'll let you know when you've done well, and he'll let you know when you've done wrong. It's yeah, it's great.
I like CJ. Do you ever ride work for Kelly and then go and sit in the feed room there, sit on one of those bins, and it's like the wise words of Kelly Schweder. I've been there a few times, and Jimmy Orman, he has all these jockeys around. It's good. I think it's a great thing
mentoring.
What he does there. Yeah, mentoring. It's a good thing.
It is great. It's definitely the highlight of the morning when you get off your last one and you wander up there for a chat. There's been, like, I think it was the last time he went to Sydney and he wasn't there for a couple of days. I didn't know what to do with myself when I was done. I just sort of wandered on out of there and didn't know what to do. It's really cool being able to sit down with him each day and have a talk, whether it's about racing or not. He's really great to talk to.
Has he gone to Sydney for El Morzillo tomorrow?
He heads off tomorrow morning. I've got to drop him at the airport tomorrow morning.
Okay, well, best of luck. Now, you do spend a lot of time around the stable, so just got to ask you, April in Augusta's back in work. How's she going? You've been on her back in track work yet?
She's going well. I actually don't ride her regularly. I rode her first couple mornings back, but Kelly's daughter, Jody, her partner, Glenn, he's done all the work on her from the get-go, I'm not quite sure. So he's her regular rider, and, yeah, she's going really well.
The fact that he is the regular rider,
yes,
it's only fair that when she wins, that you give him a slab, send him a slab. You know,
okay. I'd be more than happy to. If she can keep winning, and if CJ can keep getting the job done, I'll be sending slabs all over the place because she had a great prep last time in. Now, looking back,
she had a fantastic prep.
She did, and there's no reason. She's improved with every prep, so hopefully there's more to come this time.
Spoken like a true owner. Spoken like a true owner. I love it.
Now, you got one of mine home on Wednesday, a horse that I'd been following, and you rode him beautifully, and that was Sharp Dazzler, last to first.
Yes, it actually wasn't the plan. It was the plan to get back, but it wasn't the plan to ride him the way that I did. I was going to go right back to last and find the fence and ride him for a bit of luck because the fence was quite hot that day. But just the way the race was run, they went quite quick up in front, and I knew that they went quick and the horse that I had underneath me, and everywhere I was looking up in front of me, there was sort of roadblocks, and I found myself on the back of Ryan Maloney, and I was just happy to track him everywhere he went, and I didn't have to come out too much to get into clear running, so that's what I decided to do. And when he did get that clear running, he let down brilliantly. I felt like a winner from the 300 out.
It's interesting. I mean, that back 200 metres or 250 metres from the Doomben run, you would think that Sharp Dazzler wants further. And we were just talking about this earlier on the show, the difference between Eagle Farm and Doomben. We know the contours of the track are different, so a horse like Sharp Dazzler is always going to be better suited at Eagle Farm. But the difference in the surfaces, do you have an opinion on the difference in the surfaces at Eagle Farm and Doomben? Is Eagle Farm a firmer surface?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's definitely a much firmer surface. And you do, I tend to notice like your smaller sort of athletic horses really sort of love Eagle Farm. And then, you know, some of the bigger, heavier horses, they don't love how firm the ground can get there. But the track's been racing really well at both places, actually. But it really just, Eagle Farm just gives those back markers and every horse just their chance because it's such a beautiful big track.
Now, you were right, Sammy. We had this discussion earlier because I was talking about a couple of horses that came from Doomben and ran at Eagle Farm last Saturday, Artful Girl and Lennox, who were both in great form, and they just gave nothing in the straight at Eagle Farm. They were like different horses.
I made comments, CJ, go on.
No, I was just going to say it's funny how it, and it can work vice versa as well too. Like some horses can go great at Eagle Farm and then you take them across the road and they don't perform well.
Mm.
Yeah, it's. I was making comment that you know, for a jockey, that horses galloping on firm ground, really hard ground, it's you know, you can really feel the jar in them. You know, horses are really delicate animals, and you know, I know lots of punters say that they prefer to bet on firm ground, but if you ask the horse, you know, the majority would not like to race on firm ground because you can almost feel the rattle come up their bones, can't you?
Yeah, that's right. Definitely don't want it too firm, but when it's that sort of good four, soft five, six sort of range, it's quite perfect sometimes. But then you have some horses that absolutely are mud runners, and you know, they love the heavy tracks and they get through it so well. It's just, crazy how many different horses just like the different sort of circumstances.
Now, looking at your rides at Doomben tomorrow, I'm just going to pick a few of these out. A couple that really interest me. One is race 4, number 10, Sigourney. Now, I've been following this mare. She was really good winning her first two starts locally at Toowoomba. Her third start was okay. And then you rode her last time and she was back in the field, which she does. But, gee, she made some good ground.
He made really good ground, and that was only over the 1400 too. So I think getting up to the mile tomorrow is really going to suit. I was just disappointed to see another bad barrier. I've got shocking barriers all day tomorrow, and I really hope that she drew a bit softer so I could be a bit closer in the run. But I would say from there I'm going to have to drift back somewhat to try to get in, and hopefully I can just ride her for a bit of luck tomorrow and not have to cover as much ground as what I did last start. But I think she is a sort of quite green still, and she is a sort of horse that will appreciate a bit of room as well, because she was quite green when I was in amongst them, and when I did get her into that clear running, her last 100 was super. I think she's a really, really good chance tomorrow.
Or seeing that there's not a lot of speed on paper, you could just put the handlebars down from the start and take her right out of her comfort zone and go to the front. I'm only joking, because I know she probably wouldn't handle that.
And what he would like me to do on her, it's a I think the mile at Doomben, it can be a little bit of an awkward start.
Oh, it's a tricky start, yeah.
Yeah, oh. It's a bugger of a barrier, but anyway, a little bit of luck, and I'm sure she'll be running very well.
Yep.
Now, in race 5, not a clue how or who, I heard Chris Nelson on Giddy Up this morning absolutely declaring this.
I didn't declare
this,
it.
Declaring
I tipped
this.
It.
He said, put your house on this. It will win. Hello, punters.
Goes all right.
I don't know much about this horse, but its form's very consistent. Its last few and its last run was really good behind that last chance saloon. Yeah, I think it'll be running a nice race tomorrow, and we've drawn a little bit softer there, which will be good.
Yeah, down in class, down in up a little in weight, but your claim's a big help there. I think it'll run really well. I didn't see a lot of opposition in that race, so I'm confident you'll go close there.
What about Poseidus? I backed this last start. Poseidus,
it's a back marker too.
At the Sunny Coast, and I thought it did enough. That was okay, that race, wasn't it?
Yeah, it ran well. I think the 1200 tomorrow will suit. That was only 1,000 the other day at Sunny Coast, and it's sort of funny that start at 1,000. You can't be giving away too much ground to sort of come back and get in. So I just elected to stay in that three deep line and be that pair closer, and had to cover a little bit of ground. But last 250 metres was really good. Was sort of doing 2 to their 1 late, I thought. So it was, hopefully we can just settle a little bit closer tomorrow, and up to the 1200. I think that should be pretty easy.
Do you know much about Butch and Bugs in race number 8? You got a horrible gate again.
Yeah, I actually won this horse's maiden on him down at Wyong. So I've had a few sits on him a fair while ago, but I haven't been on him recently. But I thought his run 2 ago was really good at Doomben. He was really unlucky. He sort of ran into dead ends everywhere he went. Wasn't fully tested, and his run last start was good. He had to go all the way back. And I think he come wide there and had to cover a bit of ground as well. Shame he's drawn a little bit sticky as well. But I think he can run a pretty bold race in that field tomorrow.
Now, of course, Elmore Zillow goes around in the Millennium, the rich race at Randwick tomorrow for Kelly. Now, you rode Elmore Zillow to victory at the Sunshine Coast over 1,000 metres last time out. The extra distance looks as though it'll suit. Got to have an each-way chance, you would think.
Yeah, 100%. I think she's a great little chance, and she's drawn relatively well, and she's just one of those horses that just try their absolute best every time they step out, and she's really quick out the gate, so I'm sure she'll be in the first four there somewhere, making her own luck up on the speed. But she probably shouldn't have won there the other day when I won on her. Like, I was stuck deep from the barrier. She was quite lost up until the 200 and just started to get into a bit of a rhythm and start to narrow that margin down on the ones in front of me. And one actually ran out in front of me just as she was starting to really build the revs, and she had to change leg and come again. And then all of a sudden she's picked them up, you know, really easy inside that last 50 to 20 metres, and she was really strong through the line. And she's only little, but she's a very, very clean-winded little thing and just has a big will to win.
Now, I know you're not riding this horse. You're riding AWOL in the last race at Doomben, but just looking for a push.
Corf?
No, Petunia. I'm telling you. I love this horse. And I reckon, do you know what? It's $21. I reckon this will run a race on Saturday. Do you give it any hope there in the last?
I reckon if they ride it quiet, Petunia.
You know, the
Kelly's. Yes. She was just ended up a bit close in a small field with not a lot of speed the other day. And, yeah, she wasn't beaten too far at all. And she's back to 78 grade. She doesn't have a lot of weight on her back, and she's drawn the one. Yeah, I think she'll run well.
You are all over it. I like this. I like this. See, all over it, she is.
I'm going to ask you one more question, then we'll let you go. A horse that's figured on our show a little bit in the last couple of weeks, and not for any good reasons, is Plundering. Now, you rode this horse recently. It started very short and just gave absolutely nothing in the straight. I know you had to do a little bit of work early, but, oh, gee, how genuine do you think Plundering is? And I know you probably can't say a lot, but were there any excuses that day?
Yeah, there was definitely. I don't think it was anything to do with the horse being genuine or not. I just think may have been a little bit my mistake. It didn't help. He threw a shoe before the event behind the barrier, so he had to be reshod, which is never a really good sign. We were in a really small field of five. I drew the outside. You sort of got to make a decision pretty quick in those little fields, and I probably just overdrove him a little bit early, I thought. And when I did find myself outside the leader, I just sort of expected him to just come back and relax for me, and he just wanted to fight me. I sort of had to wrestle him to get him to try to settle outside the leader, and he just never settled one bit. He just fought me the whole way, and when they do that, they can sometimes get their tongue over or suck it back and cut their wind off, and that's what it felt like happened to me. It felt like he just wasn't getting enough air in. He made a bit of a sound just sort of going past the line, like he may have been sort of holding his breath. I think they went and got him scoped after that. I'm not sure what the outcome was. But, yeah, I think, you know, they can't run if they're not getting any air in. And that's sort of how I assessed what went wrong.
Okay. No. All right. Well, he goes in the forgive file. He gets another chance, does Plundering.
Yeah, CJ, I forgive him. I thought he was a really nice horse.
Yeah, well, his form in Sydney is very consistent. He might not win that often, but he's never far away. So he gets another chance. CJ, thank you so much
for
your
get
time.
One up here.
Yeah, he will. Well, he should. Yeah, he definitely should on his Sydney form. Thanks for your time. Best of luck tomorrow at Doomben. Best of luck going forward. There is no one riding better in Queensland than you at the moment. Maybe even Australia. Maybe even the world.
How good's that?
Have a great weekend. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me on. Lovely to talk.
That's a pleasure. Thanks, CJ. CJ Graham joining us there, Sammy. And I mean that. She's riding so well at the moment. She's full of confidence. And she's doing a tremendous job.
Yeah, good. Yeah, she was all over that. And Best of luck to him.
Now we're going for a break. When we come back from the break, it's sausage time.
This is the Punters, mate, on SEN.
All right, Sammy, it's sausage time. Have you been doing your homework or doing your money?
Yeah, I've been doing. Been doing both.
Hang on, we'll play the intro first.
I think we agree on one.
Well, do we?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I think we do, actually. Here we go. You can go first, then. Right. Start with A and end in D.
African daisy. Oh, my dearie me.
Yes, just, you were all over it last week.
Just cockroaches, these sorts.
Belvedere boys would have absolutely annihilated had it run that race. It goes around in Sydney tomorrow.
African daisy and demarque.
That's the second time. You don't like
just,
that horse.
Nah, just a... Grubby.
I've got one.
Grubby.
I've got one, and this is for my good friend Sputter out there who'll be listening.
Sputter.
Because he knows this horse well. Taranaki from the Chris Wallace stable.
Yes.
Five starts for 2 seconds. Last four starts. Second at $2.45. Second at $1.80. Sixth at $1.28. And fifth at $1.35.
Oh,
it's becoming extremely costly, is Taranaki. Probably wins a race with a bit of luck, but gee whiz, you've run out of cash, surely, if you're following it. I had African Daisy in as well. And I've also got Powerful Peg from Rose Hill last Saturday. Two starts in a row. Powerful Peg, who had some good form last prep, has sat outside the leader and given absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I think Tags was all over Powerful Peg last week.
Nothing.
He was up and about.
In the straight at all. And there was another horse of mine, which I put in the file that won last week too. So I can't remember off the top of my head what it was. I'll try and remember by the end of the show. But it did get up and win. So that's two now. Burnt me a little bit. I don't know what it was. It must have been Sydney. I'll find it in a minute. But there you go. So they're our sausages for this week.
In the sunshine, a holiday paradise.
Just before I get to Gibbo, Sammy, Kettle Hill was the name of that horse.
Sausage. Well,
I thought it was, and it gets up and blows everyone out last week. Impossible horse to catch, Kettle Hill. But it paid
Kieran
well.
Kieran Maher Camp.
Yeah, Kieran Maher.
Congratulations to Kieran and Alice, too. They had the birth of their baby girl, Eliza.
Is that their first?
Yes.
Oh, congratulations, definitely.
So, good gear.
Beautiful. All righty, Gibbo, I know you're there somewhere.
I thought Sammy was going to say congratulations, Kieran, on training a winner. I thought he's had a few.
No, that might have been his first one on his own. Could have been.
Right, yeah. No, I was going to say he has trained a few. Knows what he's doing, that bloke.
He certainly has. Now, another guy that knows what he's doing is you. And tell me, how is the boxing coming along? Are you doing any training? Can't be that far away.
I've got one in, nearly spewed twice. That's not ideal, but in bad news, my competitor, him and his mate, their podcast, they've built their own boxing ring in their backyard.
So they're prepping pretty well.
I'm not kidding you. They've got a boxing ring in their backyard.
Are we betting on this? Yeah. Are we going to bet?
Yeah, is
on
it on?
This?
Can we get on?
I don't know. I might have to work something out beforehand. I just need to get a bit of video footage off a few blokes about a couple of the other fights to know who we're backing.
Yeah, from what you're telling us, I don't think you're going to be a short-priced favourite.
No, not at this stage. But it's got to be a bit of a. I've got old age, so I've got to be wise. I can't be. Can't be brash like the youngsters. They can be brash. I'll be wise. I'll just work my way around and find the best way to do this.
Now, how far have we got, or how long until this bout takes place?
It's the end of April, so we've still got probably it's about 85 days or something like that.
But who's counting?
Yeah.
Most people would just say, oh, yeah, about 3 months. But you've got a calendar there, obviously, and you're putting a line through each day.
Yeah, and Moose, our producer, he's fighting on the night too. He sends me updates every now and then. Yeah, 95 days and 2 hours. So hopefully we can both have a win.
All right. Well, something that's back tomorrow is racing on the Poly track at the Gold Coast for the next two Saturdays, and then we're back on the grass. Only six races. Yeah. Are you keen on anything there?
Look, I think it's a hard sort of day, but the good thing is now that we've had so much racing on it, you do know the horses that like it. And in the first, there's two horses that absolutely love it, Data Patch and Jamaican Rumba. And Data Patch did trial well again here leading into this. So look, it's a race in two, but I'm going to go race one, number one, Data Patch. I just think it's well suited. And as I said, I think it'll hold the fence and it'll be hard to beat. So Data Patch. I don't like staying races, but look, race three, number three, Sea Treasures is another one that had been good for a couple of starts, then went way out of its grade to a 72 at Eagle Farm, back to a 58 here, just looks suitable. So race one, one Data Patch, race three, three Sea Treasures at the Gold Coast.
Okay, what about anywhere else around the country?
A couple in Brisbane. I watched Kibosh go around in Sydney last start before the race. I was at a mate's house. He said, how good does this horse look? And I think it was $17 that day. And it looked the winner the entire way and just got nailed late. I thought the run was super. I said to him that day, it'll win soon. And I know it doesn't win out of turn, Kibosh, but geez, it found the right race. I think if it just runs up to last start, I think it'll win. So race three, number four, Kibosh.
Yep.
And race nine, again, a lot of these are just, we know what they've got. There's not much upside, but Kinloch and Boom Talk both draw poorly, but they're class horses. Kinloch's been very good this prep, and Boom Talk's untapped. And I just think Boom Talk's the one that can. Kinloch's sort of a one-trick pony. He's got to go back, have luck, not always great on this track, whereas Boom Talk can go forward, get some favours compared to it. So I'm actually leaning Boom Talk here. I think around that 270, 280 mark. Just think it's going to get all the favours and Kinloch's going to have to get out and after it and have a bit of luck.
All right. So we go race three, number four, Kibosh at Doomben, and race nine, number three, Boom Talk also at Doomben. Nothing else? That's it? All done and dusted?
Yeah, no, I reckon that's it. Interested in how Belvedere Boys go. Matt Dunstable's flying the last couple of months, and you know, everyone just backs his horses in the highways. But I think this is the perfect horse for a highway. I think it's got a bit of upside, strong through the line. So $3 is probably short enough, to be honest. But I do think it's one of those horses that just goes down and wins highways. He's taken some ordinary ones that win. I think this one's got a bit of class.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think it'll win too, and I hope it does. Gibbo, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. Have a great weekend. Keep up the training, and we'll check in with you
again
next Friday. Thank you, mate. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Bye.
Sammy, tips from South Australian Horse Racing Tips on Twitter, at @South_tips at Morfordville tomorrow. Now, he's he's a funny guy, is Anthony. He's given me names of these horses again, and they are the worst possible names, but he's also given me an explanation of how you say them. So race one, number one, Karoi Angie. Race one, number one, Karoi Angie, the win. Race six, number five, Done My Glass each way. Race six, number five, each way. And race seven, number seven, Aruga Mama for the win. Race seven, number seven. And this one I can get all by myself. Race eight, number 11, La Defense to win. One, number one, the win. Six, number five, each way. Seven, number seven, the win. Eight, number 11, the win. Follow at @South_tips on Twitter or X. And Anthony will supply you with plenty of winners. What do you like tomorrow, Sammy?
Righto, I am going with my mate Petunia, race 10, number 14, Petunia to take out the
last. And he was sniffing around for a bit of support there from CJ.
At a price, I'm telling you, it'll run well. Race 6, number 8, Damo Days, I think it'll be hard to beat.
Yep.
Race 7, number 2, La Amigo, they are all at Doomben. At the meeting at Caulfield, the Blue Diamond for the Colts, race 6, number 1, High Octane, race 7, number 1, Bold Bastille, and in the CFO, I like Pericles.
I'm going with one of your terms here. Doomben, race 2, number 2, Fukabana, will win.
Ooh.
will win. Race two, number two, but you have to take probably about $1.60 or so. That's the only problem. I think there's some good value there at Doomben. Race five, number five, not a clue how or who. Race seven, number 12, Jayanthi. Race eight, number 14, Last Chance Saloon. And race nine, number nine, Hatchet. I think can run a really good race. He'll be in front of those other two, Kinlock and Boom Talk, and he might take some running down. In Sydney, I really like this unraced filly, Celerity, race two, number eight from Godolphin. I think Barber can run a race, race eight, number seven. And Tommy Kitten returns at 1,200 metres.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why he's the price he is, around $6. I think he's going to prove hard to beat. So race six, number two, Tom Kitten. They're all Godolphin horses. Hopefully it's a day out for James Cummings. Sammy, what's on for the weekend? Any exciting?
Trackside tomorrow, David Taggart, myself and Josh Jenkins, and we'll obviously have you on throughout the day.
Beautiful. Yep.
And then Sunday, got Sunday off. I have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, trackside, and then I have a few days off because I'm heading down I'm heading down to Melbourne.
You're going to Melbourne. You'll be on location next week, and we're not telling anyone where you'll be until next week. So tune in. You'll never guess. Have a great weekend, everyone. Many winners.